It is good to see everybody here this morning. We've weathered quite a bit this morning, haven't we? If you would, can we just take a deep breath and ask the Lord to be with us over the next few moments? Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning, even through the wind and the cold. We've come together in this place because we long to be together in your name. Your name is glorious. Your name is powerful. So we praise you this morning. Gracious God, thank you for seeing and hearing all people, for calling us to a great mission to love you with our all and to love our neighbor as ourself, to take the gospel into all the world. Father, I just pray that you would give us the courage and the faith to follow you well. Would you form us into disciples that are longing to share your gospel by our words and our actions? Would we be people that welcome the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives to just release us into the world to do great things in your name for your glory and for our joy? We ask it all in the powerful and sweet name of Jesus. Amen. I want to start this morning by letting you know we're going to start a new series next Sunday, January 7th, called The Potter's Hands, Being Formed by the Way of Jesus. And as we start this new year, it's always good to look back on the previous year and be grateful, but it's also special to come to church and to give thanks to the one who's given us all things. And I think there's no more appropriate way. Many of us might have some resolutions or what have you as we start this new year. I think there's no more appropriate way than for a disciple to start a new year by asking the question, how can I be more like Jesus this new year? And that's a strong, appropriate question to ask, but maybe we're not ready for the real answer. And so that's what this next series is all about, because Jesus takes our expectations and he turns them upside down. Jesus is not fooled by our pursuit of status or our appearances that we try to put forth. Jesus doesn't chase after prideful gain or foolish false gods in their various forms. And you know what Jesus doesn't do? He doesn't just expect us to figure out what it means to love. He shows us. And so those qualities and much, much more we're going to touch on and unpack together in this new series. So I pray that you'll join us for this new series, The Potter's Hands. I'm really excited about this series, but I'm also just excited about what's to come in 2018, because we have so much to be thankful for in 2017. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to highlight and we're going to celebrate generosity. Because I've told you before, church, I believe the gift of generosity flows in and out of this place because of the power of God. So I just want to celebrate that this morning as we look back on this year, 2017. We're going to celebrate time given, and then we're going to celebrate all the resources, the money that's been given by you for the work of God. We want to celebrate that this morning for his glory and for our joy. And so if my first interview panel would start making their way, I'm going to interview a few folks this morning and let them share with you about a few things that are on their heart. These first few volunteers, primarily, they do lots of work, right, as many of us are doing work in various parts of the congregation, but primarily these volunteers They serve in children and youth ministry. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been blessed this past year with new families, new children coming, and we're just trying to be faithful in loving and welcoming and serving and in teaching these children about Jesus. And so I'm thankful for these volunteers that give of their time in these areas, and I've asked each of them to share on two questions. So, panel, the first question is this. You've seen it. Why do you believe it is important to give of your time to teach our children, or in some cases, our teens here at church? Why do you guys believe that's important? Neville, since you're holding one of the mics, you start us off.
I know for one, you know, Mark 10:45 comes to mind, where the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And one of the things I had to decide is, am I going to warm up a spot in the chair there and complain and all that, but to really give and look at the ultimate sacrifice what Christ made for us. And then secondly as well, you know, I was one of those kids, you know. It hits me, it really, because if somebody never took the time to teach, to show me the way, I'd probably be in prison or perhaps in a grave right now. One thing I have to remember as well is that when I teach or when I give of myself in that way, that seed what I plant, you know, today might not grow till 10 years from now as what happened in my life. So that's one of my main reasons.
That's good, Neville. Jody, how about you?
Well, I have two as well. One is when we have baby dedications and we all stand up as a congregation and say that we're going to support this family in raising their children, I feel like that shouldn't be an empty promise, an empty vow. And if we don't pour into the lives of the kids at our church, then it is. I feel like we all, as a family of believers, have an obligation to love on the kids that grow up here at this church. My second reason is that I have a family that served at my church growing up. They were Bible Hour teachers. They went on every youth group event. They taught all the classes, and I remember them. I'm still in touch with them, and they meant a lot to me. And I just feel like, you know, if any of the kids at the church can look back and say, you know, I remember this family that helped a lot, and then they're inspired to serve at their church. That's important to me. Also, I didn't have a dad that went to church with me, and so I think the men teaching in the children's ministry that can step in that father role is huge, a huge blessing to those of us who didn't have that.
Absolutely. David, what would you add?
I'm kind of the same boat there, that I remember growing up. I have lots of great memories about all the people that helped, especially in the youth group on mission trips and teaching Sunday school and doing Bible studies, and just how impactful they all were in my life and in difficult situations for teens and people, you know, growing and becoming the people that they're going to be, and just what an impact somebody can have in that role. And so it's something that I wanted to be able to do also, and hopefully provide an example and some leadership to some of the great kids we have.
Very good. Delory, while you're loving on your child now.
This did not go as planned. She was supposed to stay with Grandma. So for me, it takes a village to raise a child. And I think that's especially true when we're trying to raise them to be believers. And then secondly, obviously it's a way to serve, but it's a way to give to God. It's a way to give to the church. It's a way to give to the parents of those kids that are in our care, if you will. And it's a way of showing appreciation for those that have cared for my kids and have cared for me. So
that's good. The second question, while you have the mic, you can start us. Second question was, how have you grown as a disciple through your experience of teaching, of being with the children? How have you grown? How has it formed your faith?
So I think one that's very simple is that The messages just take you back to the basics. And for me, sometimes that's what I need. You know, when you're in children's church, it just sometimes reminds you of just how simple the gospel is or the Bible messages are. So that's always nice. But I would also say that, let's be real, it's not always easy, you know, making the commitment to serve, especially when you work full time and you have a 6-year-old and a 1-year-old. It's very difficult to find those free moments. And what I can say is that when I am able to serve, I'm always encouraged. I'm tired, but I'm always encouraged to connect with the kids. And I think, you know, whenever I am able to make that sacrifice, I feel like God is shaping my character. It takes patience. It takes giving up some of that time. And I think even though I may not get anything tangible, there are obviously things that come back twofold.
Very good. How about you, David?
Well, Brian, Kelly, and I, we got to help in the youth group, and we were teaching on the minor prophets. And so it was a fun, you know, kind of exploring books that you don't look at very often. And so we got to, you know, ask some really great questions and kind of dig a little bit deep into some of the harder questions, you know, like why do bad things happen to good people? If you read Habakkuk, you can find some answers to that question. And just the digging in that we got to do as the teachers, you know, to prepare for the class was a great strengthening of our own faith and our own understanding of the Bible. And then to be able to share that with the kids was really amazing.
That's great. Neville, would you add anything to that?
Yeah. One scripture that comes to mind is Proverbs 11:45, where it says, the one who waters is also watered. You know, I know for me, I'll be real, you know, there are times where, you know, you come and you're teaching and your patience is not necessarily where it needs to be. And what it has forced me to do is go home and look into myself and look at my character and look at scriptures to say, hey, what does Corinthians, love is patient, kind of, you know, just to grow in those individual places. And to be honest, whenever I teach and I leave, there's a fulfillment where I can't describe. You know, it just resonates.
Very good. Jody?
I think teaching in church right now, in this moment in time, has helped bring the gospel to simplicity for me. Loving others and teaching them about Jesus and how much Jesus loves them. Was helping in the 5th and 6th grade girls on a Wednesday night, and I asked the girls, why do you like to come to Alta Mesa? It was some girls that had just recently started coming, and they said, because we're safe here, and we're loved here, and we're fed here. And I thought, you know, isn't that just loving like Jesus? They come and we teach them simplicity, like Jesus loves you and he'll help you through whatever. And we feed and we hug. And I just, it really kind of brought it back to, this is what being Jesus is. It's just simply telling people that they're loved and how to follow him in the beginning. And so to me, it's just really kind of brought it back down to, you know, the Great Commission, what it really means.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, guys. So I just want to take us a moment, church, and I know you'll do this as well. When you see Nate and when you see Andrea, if you'll just thank them for their leadership and the way they pastor their volunteers and the way that they are pastoring our children with our parents and grandparents, we're very thankful for your leadership and for all these 4 volunteers and for all the other volunteers that have poured into our children and teen ministries this year. We just want to say thank you. And we need more volunteers like them for this new year to continue to do what they've been describing, to continue to share the love and the life and the ministry and the sacrifice and the resurrection and the exaltation and the beauty of Jesus. All of those things we teach by word and by example to our kids. They, church, are our number one mission field. We share Jesus with them first. And so I just want to say thank you on behalf of the volunteers, our ministers, and I'm looking forward to more of what God is going to do through these two ministries. I know all of you weren't able to be there, but just a few Sundays ago, one of our sixth grade girls who's fairly new to our church, her name's Zakia, she decided to give her life to the Lord in baptism in second service, and we were just so overjoyed to witness her confession and her baptism, giving her life to the Lord in church. That's a beautiful, beautiful result of participating in kingdom work here together. And we want to pray for more, not just of baptism, but for discipleship and for faithful living. So join us in that in this next year. I'm going to ask Jonathan Williams, one of our shepherds, he's going to come up and just say a prayer over our children and parents and grandparents. And let's join him in that prayer.
One of the things Acts 2:17 says is, in the last days I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh. And one of the things that has meant for me in seeing Nate and Andrea do their ministry is there's not a junior Holy Spirit. And if you doubt that, have one of these little kids pray over you that roams these halls or is up there in the youth group. Have one of those kids pray over you and you'll realize that God is as big in them as he is in any adult.
Right.
And so what's happening in this church is we are raising world changers in our children's ministry and our youth ministry. So we want to pray over that right now and bless that and speak into that, because God's doing a mighty thing in those two ministries. Let's pray. Father God, we just ask right now that you continue to bless specifically Nate, specifically Andrea, in the goals and the vision that they have for their particular ministries. God, we ask that you move and minister in our hearts to seek a time for us to help and pursue the goals that they have for any volunteers in this church. And so we just thank you ahead of time, and we thank you for what you've done in 2017 and what you're going to do in 18. Because we can feel the birth of revival in our children's ministry and our youth ministry, and the passion that our teens and our kids have for you, and just a hunger for more of what you're doing in this church. And so we just speak that today, and we just say thank you. We ask you to just increase more kids, as we minister to the apartments around us and as people just move in and feel a calling to be a part of this body. So we just thank you for that. We love you, and we do all of this because we love you. And we ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Grab that bottle now. All right, at this time, I'm going to ask my second interview panel to make their way up. We're not going to be able to represent all the wonderful ministries that we have at Alta Mesa, but another area or areas actually that we're going to touch on this morning that these beautiful people are going to share with us is what I'm going to call local missions, ways in which we're trying to reach out to share the good news of Jesus by our example and by our words, and then also global missions. And we are trying to emphasize and to increase awareness and participation in our global mission sites. So we're going to talk about specifically this morning neighborhood needs and Tuesday lunch and all that happens in and through those ministries, much more than what happens on this campus. It goes way beyond that and into our community. And then we're also going to touch on our global mission sites in Saltillo and in Liberia. And so, Ken, start us off with the first question for what we're doing locally. Why do you believe it's important to give of your time to serve others through Tuesday lunch, neighborhood needs, and even beyond, and other things I know you're a part of?
Thank you. Well, I guess when I think about that question, the first thing that comes to my mind is obviously the example of Jesus. He came to serve others rather than to be served. And so as we're trying to be his followers, certainly that makes serving others, elevates it to a level that wouldn't be the case otherwise. And then I also think about his teaching where he says that, you know, his followers will be salt and light and leaven. And what Paul says, that he wants us to be the very aroma of Christ. So I guess for me, it's that attempt to try to be a part of the solution rather than the problem, a part of the positive force in terms of serving others. And then I just say our time is probably the most precious gift that we can give others. And there really is not a whole lot you can do to serve others without involving that factor of time, and so that's a motivator for me.
Very good. Becky, what would you add to that?
Well, there are so many people that come to Neighborhood Needs and Tuesday Lunch that really need our help. They need food and clothing and et cetera, but they also need our love. A lot of these people are in desperate situations. They don't know where to turn. And when they come to Neighborhood Needs and Tuesday Lunch, we get to really build relationships with them. They get to love us, and we get to love them. I can't even explain the Tuesday Lunch. We get to be a family. They walk in, they smile, they hug us, and we're really, really close to a lot of the people. They come every single Tuesday. They look forward to it. And some of these people, they walk into Neighborhood Needs and Tuesday Lunch. They do not know God. They do not even, some of them do not even have a Bible in their house. And we talk to them. We get to know them. The power of God works in us to bring them to a point that they can really accept God. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Wonderful.
I believe that we are entertaining angels unaware as we show hospitality to these strangers. And by giving food, drink, clothes to the least of these, we are doing it for our Lord. And that's what we're called to do.
Amen. Thank you, Jackie. So Ben, in terms of global missions, why do you believe it's important to give of your time and to go on short-term mission trips to places like Saltillo or Liberia?
Oh, sure, Mike. And for me, you know, this was my first opportunity traveling to Liberia to participate in a short-term mission trip. And what I took away from that experience was just how transformative an experience like that can be. To really, you know, spend time out of your routine and spend time out of your comfort zone, really being with other believers and really encouraging other believers on our journey of life together. Even though our journeys may seem very different, they are remarkably similar. The other thing, Mike, is, you know, we spent about a year prior to the trip in discussions with John and Linda Glover to really help us prepare for the trip. But throughout those discussions, John and Linda's message was very consistent. And that was the purpose of the trip, is to really walk with and talk with the children. And as I look back on those conversations and those interactions, I'm just, you know, so blessed on the on how those experiences shaped my life. And I just really, my prayer is that those same discussions, interactions have a profound impact on those children for years to come.
Stephen, what would you add to that?
I've come to believe that short-term mission trips, done Saltillo and Honduras, are about vision, about expanding our vision of what the world is like and our place in the world. And that goes beyond coming home feeling blessed. I think there's much more to that vision than just that picture. Really seeing the whole world for what it is rather than my version of it.
Very good. All right, Ken, back to you. How, through your local mission work that you've done through Neighborhood Needs, Tuesday Lunch, and beyond, how have you experienced God? How have you been formed or shaped by your service?
That's a hard question to know exactly how to respond quickly. I guess one of the thoughts that comes to my mind is reflecting on something that a great servant and compassionate servant of others said a few years ago. She said, as they were talking about the great things she was doing, there really are no great things. There are only small things that can be done with great love. Perhaps you've heard that statement. That's one that had a profound impact on me. And I think here at Neighborhood Needs is one excellent example, and in other ways as well, in which it's not the greatness of what you do, but it's the sincerity of the love that you try to show that God can't resist, that others are blessed by, and then therefore it connects us with Him. So it may just be a hug, it may be a smile, it may be wishing them a blessed day, it may be sitting there and listening to some of their needs, but right. Those are all ways that help us to experience God, I think, on a level that we wouldn't otherwise.
Good. Becky, what would you add to that?
Well, let me tell you a story. I'm good at telling stories.
Put that up here.
Oh, sorry. Yesterday at Neighborhood Needs, there was a lady that a volunteer came to me and told me that there was a lady that was outside and she didn't want to come in and she wanted to know if she could be served outside. She was in her car. I asked a few more questions, found out that this woman was homeless. I had the volunteer, the security person, go outside and ask her to please come in. And when she came in, I told them to come and get me. Well, when I walked over, she had walked in the front door. And when I walked over, here was a very desperate look on her face, very sad, because she didn't know exactly what was coming. I talked to her for a while. She had been homeless off and on for a year. This lady is 18 years old. Mm. She had no food. Her clothing was very, very thin, nothing that you should have on with this weather. So I asked her if she'd like to go shopping for some winter clothes. We got her a heavy sweater from the back. We pulled some food together. As you know, for a homeless person, it takes different food than it does for you and I because they have no way to cook it. She didn't even have a can opener or any utensils. And it was just so moving that this 18-year-old was in this situation and had been in this situation for a year off and on. The reason I'm telling you this story is that back when Bobby Moore first talked me into doing the Tuesday lunch, cooking in the kitchen, it took everything that I possessed to come out in the foyer and talk to the people. Trust me, people, what my stomach did doing that, you don't want to know. And God has brought me to this point where I am very comfortable in talking to any of these people, listening to their situation, and what gives me great warmth is that at the end, they have a smile on their face and they hug me. Not that I have to be hugged, but just that I have the ability to help them out when they are desperate.
That's good. Thank you, Becky.
I don't get to be at Neighborhood Needs or Tuesday Lunch all the time because of my full-time job. But the times I'm there, there's miracles every time. The new building that's going to be built. Last Tuesday, Red Lobster called and wants to donate food. It's just miracles. And seeing the faces of the volunteers who are there every week tirelessly, it's just amazing. Their example is, you know, it's amazing. There's nothing else we can say.
Another privilege I have is to help a young man with reading. And to hear him read God's word just touches my heart. And I've learned so much just listening to him read. Yeah.
That's good.
It's a great thing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, Ben, as far as global missions, kind of the same question. How has your faith been formed? How have you experienced God? And then how does that kind of change, like, as Stephen was talking about, how does that change your view of your being a disciple back here at home?
Oh, sure, Mike. And it was interesting. I guess a couple weeks after we got back, I sent an email, you know, to you and to Dave Cox, kind of saying, could you send me, you know, maybe a quote, just kind of summarizing our trip. And I got an email back from Dave Cox, and it had a picture of one of the young ladies at the school completing her lesson on the chalkboard. And I was having one of those no good, very bad days at work. And Dave said, you know, probably the most concise statement I can say about our trip was that we worry about things that don't really matter. And it really, I just kind of stopped and said, thank you, Dave. That really helped me refocus on the day's activities. So it really is just, you know, thinking about not focusing on things that don't matter as much, and really focusing on what's truly important, such as our own relationship with Christ and our brothers and sisters' relationship with Christ. The other things I took away from the experience was really how important it is to pray. To pray with our children, to pray for our children here locally, globally, because the children are the future. And then to really just spend time with children and encouraging them to develop their own relationship with Christ.
That's good. Stephen, what would you add to that?
I think it's easy for us to be lulled into believing that discipleship is this, coming to church, being with friends and family. And what I've learned is that a disciple doesn't really have comfort zones that we're allowed to stay in, that we're called to be out of our comfort zones. And so, I mean, you hear stories of people being challenged beyond what they believe they can do.
Right.
And that, you know, if you look at the life of Peter, he was constantly being called out of his comfort zone. And so that's what these, what the trips have helped me to do. Is not only go beyond there, but go beyond here as well.
That's good. Thank you guys very much. And so, church, what I want you to know is I want you to join us in prayer as we continue to ask God, how do you want us to join you, God, in your work in this place and beyond? And I want you to know that your leaders, we're praying, we're dreaming, we're asking of the Lord what's next, because he has blessed us beyond measure to be able to join him in work here. And you've heard stories this morning, and just like with the children and teen ministries, we desire to partner with him to do more for his glory and for our joy. And so I've asked David Giddings, one of our shepherds, to come and just pray over these works and to ask the Lord to bless us as we continue to reach out and to share God's love with this community and beyond.
When I think about what goes on outside these walls, or inside these walls from people that come from outside these walls, it changes your heart. What's it all about? I think it's the words of Jesus when he applied the words of Isaiah to what he was about in Luke, the fourth chapter. He was in the synagogue in Nazareth, and was given a scroll to read, and he read the words of Isaiah that said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he told the people gathered there, he said, "These words are being fulfilled in your hearing." He's still doing it. He does it through us. We're his people. And we get to hear stories. We get to share stories with other people. And it's a blessing. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we seek your power. The power you promised. The power that you used to raise Jesus from the dead. You put it to work in our lives. Your son Jesus continues to walk with us and through us and in us, as only he can do, to touch the lives of people outside these walls through neighborhood needs, Tuesday lunch, Celebrate Recovery, our global missions. Father, the magnitude of what you're doing humbles us. Continue to give us your power, your wisdom, and your love. Help us to be submissive as your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.
You call me out upon